Welcome, everybody. Glad to see you here this morning. This beautiful day. We've had some beautiful weather here, so getting ready for a couple of hot days, but that's okay. All right, so on our list today, I don't even have it here. We have Adult Sunday School that we just had. We had a great time. It's a great, always great discussion and getting to hear how God is working in people's lives. And that's always a great testimony, so great time. We have the Gleaners on Wednesday, 11 o'clock. So anybody can come. If you know somebody, fine, send them over. They should be getting some more fresh produce as the time goes on. So, and we have prayer meeting on Wednesday nights, and that's always good. So that's all you have to do. Go to our website, and there's a thing that says prayer meeting, and you can click it on as long as you have Zoom, and you go right to it, which is kind of nice there. All this good technology here. Potluck today. Yay! So be sure and stay afterwards and eat potluck. Yummy, yummy. And that's it. I don't think we have any other announcements, so let's go to the Lord in prayer. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just love you. We praise you. I just praise you for everyone that's here, everyone that's missing. We miss those that aren't here. Bless them, Lord, and bring them back safely to us. Father God, just be with the service. Be with Pastor Teresa as she gives the message that you have put on her heart. And be with the songs that we sing, Lord. Let them words just touch our hearts and just give praises to you. We love you, Lord Jesus. We thank you for this time in Jesus' precious name. Amen. All right, we're going to stand and go to the call to worship. Ephesians 6:18. Pray hard and long. Pray for your brothers and sisters. Keep your eyes open. Keep each other's spirits up so that no one falls behind or drops out. Amen. I see that. Keep your eyes open. I was reading something came up on Facebook or something. I don't know. It's been a few days. But it reminded me. It says, why do we close our eyes when we pray or kiss someone? Or, I mean, it had different things. And it's because we're getting rid of everything in sight and just giving our heart to whatever we're doing, whatever we're praying. And what a great, I never thought of it before. Mm-hmm. So, anyway.
We can do both.
Yes. Good thoughts. All right. So, we're going to start with a child of God. I am a child of God. Praise the Lord, my heart with his love is beaming. I am a child of God. Heaven's golden light over me is streaming. I am a child of God. I am a child of God. I am a child of God. I have washed my robes in the cleansing fountain. I am a child of God. Let the saints rejoice with my raptured spirit. I am a child of God. I will testify that the world may hear it. I am a child of God. I am a child of God. I am a child of God. I have washed my robes in the cleansing fountain. I am a child of God. Let a holy life tell the gospel story. I am a child of God. How he fills the soul with his grace and glory. I am a child of God.
robes in the cleansing fountain. I am a child of God, saved from sin today, every band is riven. I am a child of God, through the tests of life I have peace from heaven. I am a child of God. I am a child of God. I am a child of God. I have washed my robes in the cleansing fountain. I am a child of God. I am a child. Child of God, I have washed my robes in the cleansing fountain. I am a child of God.
Amen.
Pardoned my transgressions, he sanctified my soul, he honors my confessions, since by his blood I'm whole. It is truly wonderful what the Lord has done. It is truly wonderful. It is truly wonderful. It is truly wonderful what the Lord has done. Glory to his name. He brings me through affliction. He leaves me not alone. He's with me in temptation. He keeps me for his own. It is truly wonderful what the Lord has done. It is truly wonderful. It is truly wonderful. It is truly wonderful what the Lord has done. Glory to his name. He keeps me firm and faithful. His love I do enjoy. For this I shall be grateful and live in his employ. It is truly wonderful what the Lord has done. It is truly wonderful. It is truly wonderful. It is truly wonderful what the Lord has done. Glory to his name. Thou art worthy. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, glory and honor, glory and honor and power, for thou created. to receive blessing, glory and honor and power in the Father's right hand. For thou hast redeemed us, hast ransomed and cleaned us by thy blood, setting us free. In white robes arrayed us, kings and priests made us, we are reigning in thee.
Amen. This next song, I Surrender All, I was sharing in Sunday school. We have that hope that other people don't have, and all of us are going through some kind of a struggle. You might think it's little, maybe it's a big struggle, but whatever you're going through, we all are struggling. So as we sing this song, let's surrender it to Jesus, because we have that hope. He's going to take care of it. We just have to let go and let God.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence daily. I surrender all. so cool today.
Yeah.
With painted toes.
Yeah. Yeah, if you really want to know, it's kind of an aquamarine toenail color. This is, you can check out Claire's first toenail job on her dad if you want.
Oh, that's sweet.
So. Oh, did I jump the gun?
No,
we're going to sing a song. We're gonna sing
you're going to do an offertory. That is so awesome.
You got company.
Okay. You know, we need company on this voyage, yeah?
Yep.
Yeah, we do. So now is our chance to give back to God from the bounty he has given us. And he has given me a great blessing. I can't wait to share. Till the next item on the bulletin. Thank you, Lord, for your many blessings you do give us. Nonetheless, financial. Thank you for the money that you give to make this world work. To make our lives work, and for us to be able to bless each other and bless your holy name. Amen.
So if you want to turn in the hymnal to 106, it's a short song, but we're going to sing it together.
Oh, yeah, see if it was good to put the words in.
For God so loved the world, he gave his only son to die on Calvary's tree. From sin to set me free. Someday he's coming back. What glory that will be. Wonderful his love to me.
It threw me off a little bit because this bulletin on the little thing here says May 28th. And I was like, wait a minute, is it May 28th again? Groundhog Week. Right. But anyway, something really exciting to share that I have. Next year I have a new job. I will be teaching with McMinnville School District, and I'll be doing their Community Transitions Program, which will be a new challenge, a new opportunity. But I will actually have two other teachers that I team up with for 24 different kids. So it should be, it's going to be a, you know, you guys will see me in the fall freaking out by Sunday at noon because I'm thinking of everything I got to go home and prep for the week. But it's going to be a season of great growth. And, I couldn't go public with it until now, but I would appreciate your prayers as I go on this new journey for our family. Awesome. That's the exciting piece. There's a couple people in the church who've kind of known all along because I asked them to be references because they've known me for, like, ever. Judy. So, but thank you for those of you that were willing. That's my praise. Anybody else got a praise to share or a prayer request? Bill. Oh, yeah. Thank you. Yeah. Passing it on. So Bill is lifting up praise about his cousin's husband getting to go fly fishing with him for the first time ever. And he is probably senior citizen range for sure. Yeah, probably about the same age as Bill. And got to go for the first time fly fishing. I don't know how many of you wait till after 60 to go fly fishing. I tried not to. I have a cousin that took me. Bill's son. But anyway, praise God for those moments to get out, bond with family, and experience what God has given us in a slow, quiet, meaningful way. Yeah. Anybody else? Jeremy. Holy cow, my cousin's graduating this Friday. Okay. Jeremy's lifting up a praise for his nephew, Christopher, who's going to graduate this weekend. Lots of graduates this weekend. So pray for all of them. Pray for dads, too. It's usually dads and grads, if I remember. So praise Jeremy lifted was that Christopher's graduating. Bill, or not Bill, Fred. Brothers. First, my brother Tony, some of you know he got let go in Massachusetts. After your first year, you can be let go for no reason whatsoever. They don't even have to tell you. You can just be let go. You're a probationary teacher. And that's kind of what I'm scared of, because for 3 years, I'll be a probationary teacher again, a new teacher in a new district. But faith over fear. And so prayer for my brother Tony, who will be hopefully, I hope, moving back closer to home. He had a good interview at Sherwood. He shared that with us, too. So here's hoping. Yeah. Carolyn. Mm-hmm. So my mom is, yeah. So my mom, Carolyn, is lifting up a praise for an opportunity for several women of the church to get together and gobble spaghetti and some time with the Holy Spirit. So yeah, food and fellowship for sure. So a praise that they have an opportunity to do that with a couple people that aren't always able to get here on Sunday morning as well. Kim. Mike is going to have surgery on the 9th. Is that what I heard you say correctly? Okay. Okay. So you're going to have a tumor removed on the 9th. Is that correct, Mike? Our prayers are with you, brother. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, don't run out the door too quick. We're going to lay hands on you. Yeah. Anybody else? Did I see one up in the balcony? I thought maybe. I wasn't sure. Okay. All right. A praise that Phil's and Wink are here today. We've been praying for you guys. We're glad you're back. Absolutely. And there's a couple other needs that have been in the prayer chat this week for a boy named Eli and his mom, Nicole. A tough situation there. Absolutely. Linda got here this morning but didn't feel well and needed to go back home, so prayer that Linda feels better this afternoon. Please pray for my family members not here. If you can hear the frog in my voice, well, they're all cricketing and ribbiting and doing everything else at home. They're no better with this grass seed going on right now. So, yeah. So pray for us. They'll feel better. Anybody else got allergies going on? Yeah. All right. Teresa. So Teresa is lifting up a coworker who just retired, right? Her name is Sharon, and has been discovered that she has breast cancer, and she's still going through testing and evaluation, but is hopeful that a course of chemo will just keep her going. So that means the initial tests were positive about a negative thing. Yeah. Okay. Anybody else? All right, let us go together as a church family. Father, Lord, thank you for the many blessings you bring. Employment opportunities, retirement, and obstacles to overcome with our health. For lives lost that have been lived for you, and journeys long and short, as you ordain. Thank you, Lord. Our heart goes out to Nicole in regards to her son Eli that was on the prayer chat. Lord, we lift up those who can't be here today because of health and illness concerns. Lord, those who have had the opportunity to fellowship this last week. Lord, thank you. Holy Spirit, thank you for ever being present between us and in us. Lord, we lift up Mike and the upcoming surgery on the 9th. Make swift and clear the path for his surgeons, that this tumor is fully removed and he is fully restored. Lord, we lift up those with allergies as we're in a crucial little moment here. Lord, give us the strength to get past them and medications to help get through them. Thank you, God, for the many blessings you have given for a new job, new opportunities. Thank you, Father. And Lord, as this school year starts to come to a close and we have graduates coming to the end of a season in their life, Father, be their God. Be their guide into the next steps. Continue to watch over each and every one of them. You made them. You love them. As you love us. Thank you. Father, we lift up our leaders in this land. Oh. Father, Lord, knock on the door of their heart. Holy Spirit, knock on the door of their heart and give them wisdom to make good, godly, healthy laws and choices for this land, that all may be blessed by the decisions your wisdom gives. Amen. And we got one kid. Barely a kid. Oh, it's a stand up and shout, if I remember right. Yes, you got to get up again. Oh. All right, stand and shout. All right, so. Stand up and shout it if you love my Jesus. Stand up and shout it if you love my Lord. I want to know, I want to know if you love my Lord. Sit down and whisper if you love my Jesus. Sit down and whisper if you love my Lord. I want to know, I want to know if you love my Lord. Stand up and shout it if you love my Jesus. Sit down and whisper if you love my Lord. I want to know, I want to know if you love my Lord. Amen. All right. Father, Lord, thank you for this son that you have given us to be part of your church family, to minister and grow within your church family. We praise you, God, for what we see in that regard, and we step daily in hope of further growth. Are in him and him to share with us. Amen.
That was a good song. I don't think I knew that song from Vacation Bible School or from Sunday School. That's, yeah, like get your knees going and your back going. So welcome, everyone. And yeah, just a special welcome to Wink and Phyllis for being well enough to come out. I was telling Phyllis, you know, if she would stop dancing on tabletops, you know, she probably wouldn't be falling. And Wink was over there just playing the music, dancing. I'm like, okay, cut it out, y'all. You're not 16 anymore. You know? But, you know, it's all in love and jest that we know that God is with you. He is keeping you. And we love you. And we're glad to see you back with us. And we are constantly praying for those who are not able to consistently make it out and be here with us. Just because we can't see you every week doesn't mean that we don't love you. We really do. We really do. You're in our thoughts and you're in our prayers. Amen, family. So I have a question to get us started. Show of hands, because I was thinking about, you know, being a kid, not if I knew that song or not. How many of you know by memory John 3:16, show of hands? Oh, look, that's a lot of hands. Okay. And then some. Okay, and 17. Okay, show off. Now, that's actually good stuff because you know what? You're right, Pastor Ivan. Most people don't focus on the rest of the verses that are around verse 16 because it actually gives 16 more meaning. But we'll talk about that in a minute. So there were a lot of hands that said, yes, I memorized John 3:16. Now, question, do you remember at what age you were when you first memorized that? Oh, Wink, you know what age you were? How old were you? What? What? Wow. So Wink is saying that he remembers vividly. He was 10 years old in this church, right? For Vacation Bible School. Is that what you said? Vacation Bible School. And he even remembers his teacher's name. Wow. So from age 10. Okay, Pastor Ivan, how old were you? Okay, so Sunday school for you, similar age, but also here at Gales Creek. Okay, Louise Schwartz. Okay, oh, he's sitting in her pew, Brother Fred says. That's awesome. Anyone else? Do you remember what age you were when you memorized the scripture? Uh-huh. So when you grew up in the Presbyterian church, you have confirmation around the age of 12. And so, Sister Judy, that was one of your scriptures you memorized. Oh, that's awesome. I don't remember how old I was, so don't ask me. I don't know. I just remember, like you, Pastor Ivan, that was a scripture that we memorized as kids. It might have been Sunday school, might have been Vacation Bible School, but it was one of those foundational scriptures that we memorized. Anyone else? Do you remember what age you were? Sister Carolyn. Yeah, that's how I feel. So Sister Carolyn said, I don't remember exactly when I learned it either, but it feels like I've always known it. Yeah, amen to that. Amen to that. So we're going to be focusing on that scripture, John 3:16 today, and some others, as Pastor Ivan pointed out, because those others are just as important. So read with me, if you will, follow along, whichever translation you prefer. I'm going to be reading from the New Living Translation today. John chapter 3, verses 16 through 18. For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. God sent his Son into the world, not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. Verse 18 says, there is no judgment against anyone who believes in him, but anyone who does not believe in him has already been judged for not believing in God's one and only Son. Amen to God's word. So whether you've heard this scripture recently and it's new in your life, or you've memorized it from way back when you were a child, it is important to us to know the meaning of what this is all about. So let's look at, what is this scripture all about? Now, people say this particular verse, verse 3:16, is one of the most well-known verses from the Bible. So whether you're a Christian or not, you've probably heard this scripture before. But although it may be well known, the number who understand it and actually believe it are far less. The famous scripture is surrounded by other verses that explain its complex idea. So that when you read verse 16, you read a summary of the gospel simply explained. And that's why people really like memorizing and teaching kids and teaching new believers John 3:16, because it's a summary. It's just a short, nice summary of what God has done. It is the gospel simply explained. But the context for this passage is the conversation between Jesus and a Sanhedrin member, Nicodemus, who also happened to be one of their leaders. So he hears Jesus preaching, and he sees his miracles, and decides to inquire more. Now, some would say that Nicodemus was actually trying to be a spy, but the scripture doesn't really show that. There's no evidence of that. He is actually going to find out for himself if Jesus really is the one that all of Israel has been hoping and expecting and seeking and looking for. So listen while I read to you the beginning of chapter 3. There was a man named Nicodemus, a Jewish religious leader who was a Pharisee. After dark one evening, he came to speak with Jesus. Rabbi, he said, we all know that God has sent you to teach us. Your miraculous signs are evidence that God is with you. And then Jesus replied, I tell you the truth. Unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. What do you mean? Exclaimed Nicodemus. How can an old man go back into his mother's womb and be born again? And Jesus replied, I assure you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. Humans can reproduce only human life, but the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life. So don't be surprised when I say you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it wants, just as you can hear the wind, but can't tell where it comes from or where it is going. So you can't explain how people are born of the Spirit. So then Nicodemus asks him this, well, how are these things possible? And then Jesus replies, you are a respected Jewish teacher, and yet you don't understand these things? I assure you, we tell you what we know and have seen, and yet you won't believe our testimony. But if you won't believe me when I tell you about earthly things, how can you possibly believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ever gone to heaven and returned, but the Son of Man has come down from heaven. And as Moses lifted up the bronze snake on a pole in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him will have eternal life. And so that leads us to verse 16. For this is how God loved the world. He gave his only one Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. God sent his Son into the world not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. There is no judgment against anyone who believes in him, but anyone who does not believe in him has already been judged for believing in God's one and only Son. I'm going to read to you verses 19, 20, and 21. And the judgment is based on this fact. God's light came into the world, but people love the darkness more than the light, for their actions were evil. And all who do evil hate the light and refuse to go near it, for fear their sins will be exposed. Verse 21 says, but those who do what is right come to the light, so others can see that they are doing what God wants. And so that's where Jesus explains salvation to Nicodemus. And we, thank God for written word, can look back on that story and go, wow, that's what this is all about. When we memorize that simple scripture, for God so loved the world. There's a lot more to it than just him loving the world and sending his Son. You have to unpack that. And it's in that unpacking of that scripture that we really, truly understand how God's love is so wonderful and so awesome and so powerful. And if we are in our right minds, we're going to respond to that wonderful, awesome, powerful love and give our lives to God, because that's what he wants from us. So like I said before, some argue that Nicodemus was a spy, but, you know, he quickly became a believer, and he didn't add negatively to the narrative of the religious leaders that they had about Jesus. You know, he could have been like, oh, yeah, he's no good. And he could have added more to what the naysayers were saying about Jesus. But he actually didn't do that. Nicodemus, you might recall, if you look in the scripture, he helped Joseph prepare Jesus' body for burial. And that took place in chapter 19. Remember, when you're reading the crucifixion story, Nicodemus is there helping the believers, helping those who are disciples. And if he were a spy, he wouldn't have needed to visit Jesus under the cover of night. He actually could have just gone to the synagogue like everybody else during the day, or any time that Jesus was out preaching here and there in all the different cities. He could have just followed along and been one of those naysayers who likes to shout out and be disruptive while he was teaching. He could have been a heckler, but he didn't do that. He also had the opportunity to pretend to be a disciple, right? He could have just, I know how to infiltrate. I'll just become a disciple. But he didn't do that either, right? Because he could have taken Judas's place, right? Had he infiltrated, he could have said, oh, I already know what they're doing, and you're going to find them here and there, because this is where they normally pray. They always go to Mount Olives. They're always there in this one spot. But he didn't do that. Instead, he comes to the Savior at night to get to the heart of the matter. He knows he is a leader among the leaders of Judaism. So he can't just, oh, I'm going to go over here and talk to Jesus. Because his colleagues would be like, what are you doing? You're supposed to be on our side. We don't like this dude. This is why he comes to him at night. Because he really wants to understand. Because he sees, like he declares, you have to be from God. Because no one could know the scripture like you do. And no one could perform the miracles except that God be with him and that you were sent by God. So Nicodemus, he's sitting there, he's thinking, he has to be the one. But I need to go get some more information from him, though. And so he goes and he visits him at night. He wants to know, what is this all about? And that's when Jesus explains about God's miraculous love and the requirement to be born of the Spirit. He also says of the water. Water, when you look at Scripture, oftentimes symbolizes the Word of God. So that's why Jesus says you have to be born of the water. Got to know God's Word, like many of us have memorized John 3:16. You memorize the Word of God, not for pure memorization, to exercise your mind, but you honor God's Word. You memorize it so you can be cognizant of, oh yeah, that's what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm not supposed to be doing that. I'm supposed to be doing what the Word of God taught me to do. That's why we memorize God's Word. That's why we meditate on it. And then he says to him, not only should you know God's Word, but you actually have to be born from above. You have to be born again. And that's where the Spirit comes in, because you can't be born from above without the work of the Spirit. So Jesus explains that in order to see God and his eternal kingdom, everyone must be reborn, or as the scripture, the text says, born from above. And that's what it actually means in Greek. So depending on your translation, it may say a rebirth or reborn or born again. But when you look at it in Greek, it says born from above. So it's not just an earthly birth. It is a spiritual one. And so your natural birth won't cut it. And I think that one reason that God made it so we had to be born of the Spirit is so that he could truly make salvation for anyone who believes. You see, if your family tree and your lineage had a role, only a certain number of people or a certain type of people would be able to be reborn, right? When you, again, I think we talked about this a couple of years ago, when you have your pets, particularly dogs, there's a pedigree. Or even horses, they do the same thing with horses. You try to trace their family tree. Who is their dad? Who's the grandparents and the great-grandparents? Because if you're not purebred, if you will, then you're not going to be as expensive as a dog as the others who end up at the Humane Society, castaways, right? You pay a pretty penny for the purebreds. And I think that's why God says, no, we're not doing that. Because some of y'all, you know, some of you just wouldn't make the cut because you don't have a pedigree of greatness. There's no royalty in your lineage. There's nothing special about you. So then therefore you would be at a loss when it came to being able to enter the kingdom of God. And I know also probably there'd be some people who would pay their way in. I have people in my life who just think, you know, if I just pay this membership, I'm all good. Okay. But that's, thank God That is actually not how salvation works. You can't just pay your tithes and offerings and think, I'm good with God. I can go live my life however I want to. It's like, no, it's not that. You don't get to pay your way into the kingdom. So God says, no, that's not how my system's going to be. It's not going to be based on your human birth. It's actually going to be based on your spiritual birth. And this is why it's open to any single person who believes. So it doesn't matter your age, it doesn't matter your income, it doesn't matter what country you come from or what country you live in, it doesn't matter what language you speak, it doesn't matter any of those things, it doesn't matter your ability. None of those things matter. What matters is when you hear about the love of this righteous, holy God who gave his only son that was created like him to die for the world, what matters is your response to that. That's what matters. It's not your family tree or your lineage. As the Apostle Paul says, because humans would be proud of themselves and would boast of their own work. You would go around bragging about how you were one of God's children because you were a favored one. God says not so. So Jesus explains how the rebirth is made possible. He says first, well, you got to be born again. You're not getting into heaven without being born again. So how was that made possible? By the sacrifice of the Son of Man. Jesus regularly referred to himself as the Son of Man. It's actually an Old Testament name. So the Jewish people at that time would have recognized, oh, Son of Man, that's the Messiah. That's the anointed one. In the Bible, we know that term. So when he's calling himself, when he's referring to himself as the Son of Man, that's a signal right there that he's saying, I am the Messiah right in front of you. And so when you go back to the Old Testament, you have to also notice that God had a requirement of a blood sacrifice for sin, right? That's how you paid for sin. You would come to the temple and make your blood sacrifice. It had to be, there were different things. It had to be without a blemish. And you would kill that animal to symbolize your death to your own sin, right? And that blood would be a sign saying, God, forgive me, my family, forgive us as a nation, as believers, for our sin. And that blood sacrifice is a precursor to Jesus, because this is why God had them, required them to even do that. Because he was saying, let me show you what I am going to do. This lamb that you're killing, this ox, this whatever, the turtle doves or the pigeons that you are sacrificing, guess what? I am going to send my son, the Messiah, to die for you. He is going to pay that blood penalty for sin. And then you won't have to worry with trying to bring your offering to the temple anymore. He gives them a sign. And the sacrifice and being born from above both come from the Father. This is what's so interesting about this conversation between Jesus and Nicodemus, because he is really breaking it down for him like he doesn't do in other spaces. Because if you remember, and you're following along Jesus' ministry, he's teaching in parables. He's using stories that people can try to relate to. And then sometimes they miss the message because it's like, wait, so is that the good guy or the bad guy? Or what exactly does that mean? And then he has to explain to his disciples later on, those who are close to him. But he's not doing that here with Nicodemus. He's just straight giving it to him. This is right out of scripture. You, religious leader, I need you to go and tell this message because now you know. So he breaks it down, the sacrifice, what is required, not only that blood sacrifice, but to be born from above. And that spirit has to do its work, which he says is a miraculous thing, and it's something that's mysterious, because how does the Holy Spirit do that, what he does? But it's a good, we thank God for that. So he says, the sacrifice and being born from above both come from the Father. It's God's miraculous love for his creation that the fulfilled promise of the Messiah and the rebirth even exist. Remember, because without God putting forth that plan, there would be no Messiah, and there definitely wouldn't be a rebirth of the Spirit. So God gave his people Israel signs, and he taught them to look for his Messiah. So again, go back. You have to read the Old Testament. When sin enters the world, the very first book in the Bible, in Genesis chapter 3, is when sin enters the world. God says on that occasion, yep, I know, you sinned. And so because of that, there's going to be some penalties. There's some penalties like immediately, effectively, because you remember he removed Adam and Eve out of the garden. He spoke judgment over the serpent. There's some real crucial things that happened when sin entered the world. But at that same time, at that very same time, Sister Carolyn, God says, however, I've got a plan. This didn't just happen with me being unprepared and unknowing. I actually knew this was going to happen. So I've already prepared a plan. And so this is what he says in Genesis 3:15. It's not explicit like what Jesus is explaining to Nicodemus. But when you go back and you're reading, you're like, look at that. It's right there. Genesis 3, verse 15. And I will cause hostility between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He will strike your head. He's talking about Jesus and the devil. And you will strike his heel. So the enemy of our souls will strike at the heel of Jesus Christ. Why? Because Jesus has all authority and power, and he's standing on the enemy's head. So right there, God is already giving us a glimpse that, yeah, I know, it looks like things are pretty bad. You're getting removed from this wonderful, beautiful place that I've created for you. And now you're going to have to work and do all the extra, and life won't be easy anymore. But guess what? I'm already working on how to redeem you back to myself. And so he knows the enemy of our souls is there, because he was the one that came and talked to Adam and Eve and said, you don't have to believe everything he says. He knows a lot, but you could build just as much, right? And so God says, yeah, I have a solution for that. You might think that you've won today, but you're going to lose in the end, because the one I send, my Messiah, my Savior for humanity, is going to crush you. And so when Jesus comes, he does just that. But we also see another passages throughout the Old Testament. Psalm chapter 2, beautiful illustration of what the Messiah, who the Messiah is and what he does. It shows how God's Messiah is actually God's Son, and that the Son will have authority and power that was declared back in Genesis 3:15. Listen to what it says. It says, I will declare the decree. I'm not going to read the whole chapter, just a portion. The Lord has said to me, you are my Son. Today I have begotten you. Verse 8 says, ask of me, and I will give you the nations for your inheritance, and the ends of the earth for your possession. There are more passages, like I said, when you go back to the Old Testament, and you can just read them, you go, oh, there's Jesus. There's Jesus all along. Wow. Why can you go back to the Old Testament and see Jesus? Again, it's because of the Father. He knew he had a plan already before he even spoke us into existence and made humanity with his own hands. He goes, I know they're going to cut up. I know they're going to want to be like me and actually have all power. But no, they're going to fall. And they're going to go their own ways. So I got to create a way back so that we can be in right relationship. So there's many more that talk about Jesus and his role as the God's Messiah. And the New Testament shows us God's power, his faithfulness, and his love towards us because his promises are all fulfilled in Christ Jesus. And then he gives us the gift of the Spirit all together. And so John sums it up. He says, for God so loved the world so much, he sent his Son. So John gives witness that Jesus is God's promise of a Savior fulfilled. And that's why when we read Scripture as modern day Christians, we can't just focus on the New Testament. You don't fully understand who Jesus is, and what the Spirit does, if you haven't studied the Old Testament as well. Because in the New Testament, they're simply giving witness of who God is, that he is faithful. He didn't just come on the scene suddenly. He's been around forever. But did you notice this? When I was reading to you chapter 3, that first part of chapter 3, that John is also doing something when he's recording that conversation between Jesus and Nicodemus. While Jesus is explaining how the lost can be saved to Nicodemus, Jesus is also explaining the whole idea of the Trinity, the role of each person in the Godhead. Jesus reveals more of who God is and how God interacts with humanity, right? So Scripture doesn't label God as the Trinity. Like, you're not going to find the word Trinity in Scripture. You won't if you go and look. But in this passage, you can actually see a very clear idea of who the Trinity is and how they serve. Because you go back and Jesus said it himself. Well, God did this. He created the plan of salvation. I came along. I'm the Messiah. I'm actually going to give my life. My blood sacrifice is what's going to save you. And then the Holy Spirit comes and gives you that rebirth. So he's teaching Nicodemus that salvation plan, and also showing that there's three persons in the Trinity in God. Fascinating how much, if you slow down and read the text, be like Pastor Ivan, don't just memorize the one verse. What's the other verses around it? It gives it more completion. It gives you better understanding. And that's what Jesus was doing with Nicodemus that day, that night. I know you're coming to me in secret because you really want to know who I am. And I wonder how many more people did Nicodemus bring to Christ once he left that place knowing he is the Messiah? Like, what did he do to go? It makes me think of Christians who are underground in different parts of the world. Like, they have church, but it's a secret church. Because of the government doesn't want Christianity in their nation or other things. Like, is that what he did? Was he on the inside as a Pharisee? I mean, a leader in the Sanhedrin. That's like the smaller elite of the Pharisees. But there he is, believing in Christ Jesus as the Messiah. Wow. I think that's what God wants us to be doing, is we don't have to necessarily infiltrate, but wherever we are, whatever your role is, you may not be a leader of some elite group, but just an average person, every day living your life, you can be like Nicodemus. Ah, now I fully understand God's plan of salvation. I know Jesus for myself. And because I know Jesus, his Holy Spirit lives in me, empowering me to do more for God, to live right for God. How can I not go and share that love with other people around me? That's what God wants from us. So Jesus reveals more of who God is, how he interacts with humanity. And even though, like I said earlier, we don't have God and the Holy Spirit and Jesus labeled as the Trinity in Scripture, we can see in this passage this idea. It's beautifully written to explain the inexplicable. Because it is a mystery how God saves us and that the Holy Spirit is in every single one of us as believers. That's fascinating that he can do that. Yet he does. A holy God who created the universe would make a plan to save us. And in order to save us, he would sacrifice his only begotten son. Wow. It's the one and only. Like when you have a lot of kids, okay, you love all of your kids. But this is a special child. It's the one and only. And then you're going to allow him to die for the others who don't even care? That's an amazing love. That's an amazing grace. But God doesn't stop there, because he gives us the Messiah, but he also gives us the gift of the Spirit, who protects us, who guides us. But it's only if that gift is only for those who actually believe God, and that God sent his Messiah, and you believe in that Messiah, and then you can receive the gift of the Spirit. That's what God wants from us. When I was preparing this lesson, I was thinking, well, God, how do you want me to close? What do I say to your people? This is what he gave me, Sister Kim. He said, I want you to pray for the lost ones in your life. That's why we're here. That's why he saves us, so we can be salt and light, so we can show others that God really is real. He's not a myth. He's not made up. He's not something in our minds. He actually is real, and he actually lives in our lives. And so that's how we're going to close today. We're going to pray for the people that we know who may not know Jesus. And some of us, we know that they sure enough don't know Jesus. We have that list. And then you have that list of friends and people that you know that are, I wonder if they know about Jesus. We're going to pray for all of them. We're going to pray for all of them. So I'm going to stop talking and give you a few moments to make your list. Make your list of people. Could be nieces, nephews, grandkids, cousins, neighbors, coworkers, friends. Go for your list. If you're not writing it down, it's okay. Make a mental list. You know. Lord, we thank you. Thank you for your holy word. Thank you that we live in a nation where it's okay to be a follower of Christ. and that we can have the freedom and the right to gather together on any given day, not just Sunday mornings, but any day and any time to gather, to study your word, to read your word, to hear your word, to sing you praises, to thank you for being in our lives, and to also pray for others. And so, God, right now, we take the time to pray for some people in our lives who we're not quite sure if they actually know who you are. And then there, we also add to that list people we really know don't know you at all. It is, nope, they don't know you. We lift them up to you now. Some of them are our neighbors. Some of them are really close to our heart, like our grandchildren, our nieces, our nephews, our cousins, some of our best friends from back in the day, who for whatever reason have walked away from you. We pray for them now, Lord God, that your Holy Spirit will do his work. Call them to yourself. Woo them to yourself. Make it real. Reveal yourself to them. Just as Jesus sat down and explained all the things to Nicodemus, we pray that your Holy Spirit will move in them so that they will receive the word when they hear it and will want to give their life to you. But also, God, work in us. Help us not to be judgmental. Forgive us for that. Help us to actually be like Jesus, sitting with the sinners, having honest conversations with them about who you are in our lives. Help us not to be ashamed of the things that have made us who we are, because sometimes that prevents us from sharing a word of faith, because we know that we are imperfect, and so we don't want to talk to people about our imperfection. Help us to get over our fear, Lord God. Forgive us for that, because you are bigger than our fears. You are bigger than our past sins. You are a God of grace. You are a God who has forgiven us. And so we stand on your forgiveness through Christ Jesus. Thank you for that. Empower us, Lord God, through your Spirit to be salt and light, to be witnesses like Nicodemus, to be witnesses like John and the other disciples. We thank you, God, for this ministry. We thank you for passing it on to us through Christ Jesus, that others may know who you are in simple, everyday ways. Thank you, God, for saving us. Amen and amen. All right, let's close with a song, and then I'll return with our benediction.
We have a great song to close with. It's the doxology.
Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Amen. God bless you, my dear brothers, my sisters, my siblings in Christ. Go with God, knowing that His Spirit empowers you to live for Him, to be salt and light and witnesses for Him. Go in God's peace and His grace until we meet again. God bless you and God keep you.
Stay for potluck.